Thanks to all of you for joining us this evening for the Perpetual Motion Machine for Thursday, September 24, 2020. I'm your host, Dennis Schaefer. Since the Perpetual Motion Machine is all about science communication, our guest tonight, Todd Newman, has a unique take on communicating science. He is an assistant professor in the Department of Life Sciences Communication at UW-Madison. And just earlier this afternoon, he presented a Zoom talk on the brand of science at Holtz Center for Science and Studies lunch seminar. I've been here for quite a while, in fact, and probably the one thing that has kept me going in terms of science is curiosity. And I learn so much talking to the people that I interview, and I hope our listeners do the same thing. Let's bring in our guest, Todd Newman. Todd, thanks and welcome to our show.
Thanks so much for having me, Dennis. It's great to be here.
Let me ask you first, before we get into the meat, about public perceptions and attitudes. And you mentioned this, I listened to your seminar, and you bring this up, and I read an article online from the conversation that you mentioned this too, about a poll that referenced the general public and what they felt about the word science. And the overwhelmingly, the feeling was hope. Now, I don't want to be a downer, but it seems like the public not only mistrust, but even disregard truth, facts, and science, which is the search for truth. Is that, you know, it seems like that's the case today. I don't know if that's the real perception. What is it? Is hope really actually the attitudes?
Yeah, I mean, I think, well, first of all, I would say that, you know, science as an institution and scientists in particular, in survey research that's been done over decades, has always remained one of the strongest, most trusted institutions in the U.S. and in global surveys as well. And so there is this strong trust for scientists, and this is across, you know, the ideological spectrum, controlling for, you know, all different types of demographics. But when it comes to, right, this emotional and sensory response to science, right, hope is overwhelmingly, you know, in the survey that I discussed in the talk earlier today, you know, close to 65% of the U.S. public indicated that. And what, you know, hope really ties into, and I think it holds, and regardless of, you know, even with COVID, when it just happened, right, there was a Pew study that said, right, the majority of people still felt hopeful about the future, even though all of the uneasiness and difficulties that they were feeling. And so as a science communication researcher, hope becomes this really powerful message that we can think about in terms of how to reach across ideological spectrums, across different demographics, because we know for so much of science communication and public understanding of science that, right, people do have these different views about science, the role of truth, et cetera. But hope, right, as a feeling, as an emotion, is one that remains consistent across these audiences.
Wow. Okay. With a lot of science deniers out there, are they set, you know, is their ideology so firm that they can't change their minds? Or is that the messaging? Is that you need to message science as something hopeful to get to these other people?
Well, a couple of things to unpack there. I think on one hand, you know, communicating with someone who has very fervent beliefs, whether it's science denial or on any other issues, you know, there's a lot of social science research that suggests, you know, changing people's minds is not easy, just as changing people's behaviors. But when it comes to the idea of hope, and I think this is what's so unique about hope, is hope tells us that there is a future payoff associated with science, right? Science is a utility. It takes on meaning once it's connected to other issues. And I think for science, people who are denying science or people who maybe have dismissive views, those perceptions of science are rooted in how they see science being applied to different policies, right, that are not aligned with their views about how society and governments should go forward. And understanding, I think, what those common values and beliefs are across different people on the ideological spectrum and tying in information into what they care about and what they value is critical. For example, right, you see with COVID, for example, and those who might be dismissive of mask mandates and the science around wearing masks, right? Well, what do, you know, those individuals care about? Well, right, maybe it is reopening the economy. Maybe it is these other types of values and beliefs that are embedded within, right, their worldviews. And so the idea with hope is linking it to policies and actions that can create what they see as a better tomorrow in a more effective way. And so hope becomes this really ambiguous, but at the same time, powerful messaging structure that the scientific community can really benefit from.
Okay. Now let's get to a little bit about brands, branding. Now in your talk, you differentiate branding from marketing. It's not the same thing. When I think of brands, and you brought this up too in your seminar, is that brands or even marketing is about products. It's basically commercialization. You know, it's trying to convince people that their brand or their product is better than somebody else's brand. Is that the way you think that science should go that direction?
So I don't think science is about one is being better than another way of thinking, right? Science is this kind of really, epistemic belief structure, right? That is a complex idea. But the idea is with branding, and I think that what the relationship is with science is that so much of how we see communities develop around whether it's ideas or products or services or anything else is really rooted in these same structures. How does self-identity, allow one to, right, choose a certain brand and keep purchasing that brand? And I think what has been, how this relates to science and what's been, in my opinion, something that has been detrimental to some of the ways in which science is connecting to those who might have different values and beliefs is that it has been a lot of us versus them tactics, right? I am pro-science, mm-hmm. You are anti-science, right? And that's any marketer, you know, would never want to do that for a product or service. And I think, you know, this understanding this type of construct and how brands oftentimes, right, are both bottom up from, right, how communities develop and think about them, as well as the top down, how those in scientific societies and other organizations, right, choose to message and choose to strategically communicate. And, right, this link, and I think this is kind of the golden link of communication, is, right, and we spend so much time as science communicators understanding our audience and understanding what they care about and understanding their values and beliefs and how to, right, frame and communicate effectively with them. But there hasn't been that same level of focus on understanding ourselves, understanding science and how science is perceived. And that link, I think, is really important to, right, any brander. Every brand needs to know what their brand is and how it can be, right, communicated.
Okay, short break, bring Kai back in. Kai, are you there?
Yo, here I am. You know, my question for you, if I can I hijack a question out of here?
Okay.
Am I allowed? Okay, yeah, so that gives me, that makes me question something, Todd. You know, you talk about the brand of science, like understanding the brand, but maybe you don't want to be presented that way, or maybe you want to change or alter the image or the way you're perceived, right? So what is the way, like we know that science is perceived as something hopeful, but what does that hope leading to? What is that vision of hope? And do scientists want to, you know, use that or like guide it to any sort of specific hope for a certain future that they want? Like, is that also in alignment with what the public perception of hope in science is? What's the intersection there?
Yeah, that's a really interesting point. And it's one that I think, you know, we haven't really looked at empirically in terms of what these different you know, hope payoffs are. What is the right hope of scientists and what, you know, their vision for a better tomorrow looks like compared to how that plays out across the public. We know that hope is a strong emotion, but we don't know those connections into what that timeline is, into what that right ideal vision of society is. And I think, you know, taking an example from right the consumer marketplace, I mean, brands reposition themselves all the time. You know, take a classic example like Cadillac, right? I mean, Cadillac were these cars that were, you know, for a long time, what your, you know, grandparents would drive, wasn't seen as anything kind of, you know, super sporty. And then, right, Cadillac had a whole repositioning campaign with these sporty cars and right, this new image around it. And I think science, right, really hasn't thought about that. And in terms of, right, what are these different ways in which we can reposition around hope, and we can think of different ways, and, you know, using trusted messengers, using trusted channels, and using messages. And I think that's why this research is so important, is really understanding this powerful construct of hope, right? And hope is, we see it all across politics, right? We saw it with, it was a big part of Obama's messaging campaign,
definitely,
right?
Definitely.
And so, but deconstructing that in the context of science is, you know, what the evidence, at least, you know, that I found really important for these next steps, because that is the link, is what are these different visions for society? What are they? What are the public hoping for? Is that different than scientists? And my argument is that, right, scientists need to understand where the public is and communicate in a way that resonates with the public, right? We know from surveys we've done of scientists that, you know, while hope is still a powerful emotion, right, we see that a lot of what's guiding their responses to science is joy and excitement and the process of doing science and the process of discovery. But for the public, right, we don't all have those same experiences with science. We don't have that same you know, level of, you know, just the experiential parts of it. And I think there's nuances in connecting these different attributes of hope, and you know, that's you know, what I am hopeful to do.
Well, that's a very fair response. Yeah.
Let's get back to Todd and Kai. You might be interested in this. I have a question that you brought up in your seminar dealing with the March for Science that occurred back in 2017.
You know, I love March for Science.
And you reported on it.
Me and Will Todd reported on it. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. I forgot about Will. That's a way or an example of branding science, right? Because the protests were basically, you know, science, you know, they're just not in particular, just science in general. So I think you related that as an example of a type of branding. I don't know if that's the right way of describing it, but.
Yeah, I mean, I do think, you know, the March for Science was really a culmination of, you know, a lot of, you know, sentiment that those who are, you know, pro-science, those who are, you know, active in the scientific community, and those who saw you know, what they saw as an administration, not only, you know, it wasn't only here in the US, but around the world, administrations taking stances that weren't relying on the best available science and sometimes having these anti, you know, scientific views in many cases. And it really became, right, in marketing, we talk about publicity, and you know, it became one of the few times where science and an image of science, right? We saw protesters, we saw signs. It was reported across the media, and you know, we saw that it was generally, right, a pretty homogenous community. It was a lot of and again, you know, this comes into these us versus them tactics. And there's actually a project we're working on in my Department of Life Sciences Communication, looking at some of the signs from the March for Science protests, both in Madison and in D.C. And right, a lot of the time, the tactics that were in those signs were really about, right, us versus them, you know, particularly against the Trump administration, but also against, you know, those who have anti-scientific views. And I think, you know, this became a way in which science, to some extent, had an image associated with it. You know, like we go back to this example of, okay, so how do you, right, define what science is? What does science look like? Is it someone in a lab coat? Is it, you know, a researcher at the bench? And this was an opportunity where it had this really strong branding campaign and was very visible to those across the country and across the world.
You know, while we're also talking about branding, you know, it works in the other way too. We're in the midst of a pandemic. One of the Times 100 most influential people right now, Dr. Anthony Fauci, is like the face of the coronavirus pandemic, obviously, because of American response to it at the government level. But, you know, like being that sort of public figure that is the face of how we get our information and communicate it at that level, that really is the intersection of public, science, and government, you know, making that level of trust happen. You know, people are seeing science in a different way, and that's why he's getting that sort of marketing tool. See, you can't see me doing air quotes, too bad. But yeah, that's why he's getting like the whole marketing approach and being on magazine covers and, you know, being the topic of conversation, because he's leading that for what we have going on right now.
Yeah, I think that's an excellent point. And, you know, it's, there's a fate. I mean, right, we think about who these faces are for science. And, right, we could talk about people like Neil deGrasse Tyson or, you know,
or
Bill
Todd
Nye
Newman.
Well, not Todd Newman. I'm not a face. I'm just a voice. But, okay. You know, Fauci is one of these people, though, that has, right, strong trust, you know, pretty stable across the political spectrum. And you know, it'll be interesting to see how that changes from, you know, some of these other faces of, you know, leaders, you know, and he's, you know, more apolitical than a lot of the other, right, messengers we see around science and COVID. And I think that's one of the reasons, too, that's really unique about kind of everything that's fallen out in terms of, you know, messaging around COVID is, right, When you look at differences between Democrats and Republicans and different, you know, trusted sources, right, the news media among, right, conservatives is very, is not trusted very much, right? The messengers who are trusted are the Trump administration, politicians, right, leading, the politicians are becoming the communicators, and, right, the essence of science communication and having effective scientists, and I think, you know, Fauci does a very good job of communicating in clear and effective ways and having this image. And right, I would guess that he is working with, you know, public relations and other types of you know, marketing folks to construct this image. And I think, you know, that's one of the things we see evolve as different issues come up, right? It was Al Gore with climate change, and you know, we could have a whole you know, talk about that and how that impacted attitudes around
certainly.
But it is interesting, right, how these, and you see the same thing across different products and services with different folks, you know, men and women that begin to become a face of a brand. And to what extent, you know, Fauci, the impact he has, and if he's seen as this brand of science, I think is a really unique and interesting kind of dynamic that is, you know, really central to science, where, right, it is applied to everything, and it ebbs and flows in the media attention depending on what's going on. And right, to the extent that, you know, these different trusted sources and how they resonate, you know, across the spectrum, I think is why, you know, thinking about communication through this lens of branding and marketing is so critical.
Let me ask you this. Maybe this is our last question here. And you've sort of touched on it, even with Fauci, because everybody trusts Fauci because he keeps it nonpartisan and non-politicized. Doesn't have to be politicized. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, I had the saying in my talk, and, you know, I think people have different reactions that, right, science is political, but it doesn't need to be partisan. And I think we live in this current, you know, the current state of science is, it's difficult to take out the politics of it. Science, as I mentioned, right, is about the application to different policies, different technologies, which have implications to, right, our economic well-being, our social well-being, cultural well-being, that all, right, begin to align with different values and beliefs. And, right, to think that science can never be political, I think, is just not the case. I think the case is understanding which, right, those of us who study political communication and political psychology realize that, right, there's ways to get topics that are controversial or topics that do elicit really strong emotions and communicate those in an effective way. And that's about resonating your message with values and beliefs that matter to that specific audience. And I think, right, moving forward, that's something that, you know, will continue to be studied, will continue to be analyzed, and hopefully will be able to be understood in a way that you know, makes it more open to these different viewpoints and finding common ground. And I think hope is, right, the lens through which that can be done.
Well, thanks a lot, Todd. I appreciate it. This has been another edition of the Perpetual Notion Machine, brought to you by the Madison Science Radio Collective. Thanks again to our guest, Todd Newman. Special thanks to our phone answerers for tonight. And our engineer, as usual, is Charlie Pittman. Thanks to Kai Brito for joining us tonight. Yay, Kai. Hey. I'm your co-host, really, with Kai, Dennis Schaefer.